Welcome in to the Sunday's edition of Back to the Blue Ridge. I'm your host, Kenny Rohr, along with Jeff Hunt over here punching all the buttons and making me look good. And we are so pleased and honored today to have in the banjo picker that you're listening to there, Larry Hall. And, of course, that's from an album he did back in 1974. And we've got Larry Hall sitting beside of me. And then over on the other side of him is Marvin Harlow, who drove in from Floyd, where he had to stop and get some suntan lotion on the way down here. I think he'd run out and all that hot weather they've been having up there. And we're so pleased and honored to have the two of you in our studio. And I think of all the great music that you guys have been around, I'm so envious of all the great musicians y'all have been around. So say hello to the folks, Larry and Marvin.
Well, thank you very much, Kenny. It's a real pleasure to be here. And we've been planning this for about a year,
We've been talking about it for a year,
Or it's in the weather or something that got in the way, but we finally got to it. And we would like to say that we're really happy to be here today and hope that we might play something or might say something that would be important to people who follow this type of music. So, yeah. And you have a great listening audience. You know?
Oh, we have wonderful listeners. They're all good looking too. Every one of them I met's been good looking. Too. And Marvin, how about you saying hello to the folks too?
Well, it is a pleasure to be here, Kenny. As you know, I'm a great fan. I listen to you every Sunday. And
thank you.
When I left Copper Hill this morning, it was 7 below. So. You guys have something to do to get me out this morning. But I am here, and I'm getting ready to enjoy myself, and I always love these old stories. And like I said, I love to listen to you every Sunday. And
well, thank you.
Good to be here with you and Larry.
Well, we appreciate it. Y'all have made my day, and to say the least. Larry, tell us now, how long have you been playing bluegrass, and what really brought you into this music?
Well, I started in 1953. Just a kid, you know, and trying to learn to play guitar.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in those days, it was nobody really around that much around where I lived, you know, that played at all. So mm-hmm. it was really hard, nobody to show you anything, you know. And I just, a couple years there, I learned to play guitar, and finally my dad borrowed some old records and started listening to them, you know, and emulating what they were doing, you know. And then in the latter part of 54, I started listening really closely to one or two of these five-string banjo players who were really out there cutting it. Yeah. Namely, Earl Scruggs, of course. I heard him first, and Stanley Brothers, Ralph Stanley, you know.
Yeah.
And it was I tell this to people, and they kind of laugh, but it was true at that time. As a kid, you know, you think funny thoughts about stuff like this. But I thought, that sound of that banjo playing behind those guys singing, or if I can't learn to do that eventually down the road, pretty good, I'll surely die. And I really felt that way, you know, about it. I mean, you know, I guess that changed years later, you know, but it was really strange, you know. So early part of 55, learned the banjo, you know.
Now, for years, you were with Clinton King.
Yeah.
When did that association start? And was Clinton not related
to
you?
Yeah, Clinton was my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah. And I started with him in November 1958.
Okay. Yeah.
And his brother also at that time played with us, Glenn, you know.
Okay.
And it was the King Brothers in the Virginia Mountaineers. And they formed that band together back in 1947. Glenn had just gotten back from World War II, and they formed that band. And, you know, so I was a few years behind them. But anyway, I started in 58. And along in the latter part of 63, Glenn started having a lot of health issues and, you know, couldn't make a lot of the shows and stuff. And so he just decided, you know, to back out of it as far as playing full-time like we were. And I told Clinton, I said, well, you know, we have to have a full-time good guitar player. And Clinton was playing fiddle all these years, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and really a good fiddle player. He never was crazy about playing it, but he was good at it, you know. And he said, you know, that nobody else played the fiddle in the band, so somebody had to do it. And he said, I love to play guitar, and I never really gotten to that much. So he went on guitar. He said, I'll be the guitar player. So when Glenn had to leave, you know, so he went on in 65, you know, and stayed until the end, you know.
Well, now, how long were y'all on TV? What years were y'all on TV locally, I know?
It was WRFT TV Channel 27 in Salem. And we went on there 1966 and played every Friday night for 8 years.
Wow.
We left in 74. And it was a long run. But it was really a great experience. I figured it up one day just roughly, and we did over 400 30-minute TV shows.
Wow.
And a lot of those shows were non-commercial. Mm-hmm. So when the red light came on, you had 30 minutes, and you didn't want any dead air, you know. And for people who don't know, you don't have dead air in broadcasting. That means silence.
Right,
so you say something if you just whistle, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you wouldn't think, you know, that sometimes at 30 minutes that, you know, with no cutoff switches to catch your breath and stuff, that you'd think it would be easy. But it got to where it was after about 6 months of doing it. But that first 6 months of 30 minutes, just bam, 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 and, you know, nobody to break you, you know, give a commercial or anything, you know.
Right.
But it went over well, you know.
Yeah.
And we played all the time because I've always found that something about it, if you're on a radio outlet or a TV outlet, you really get booked a lot. I mean, you get booked much more than you do if you're not constantly in the public's eye, and you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you don't literally die, but you die as far as people being calling you for bookings, or calling them and they say, "Oh yeah, I know you, you know, come on down, we'll hire you and go to work," you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's give a listen to some of the recordings you made with Clinton King. We heard one there opening the show, "Lady of Paris,"
right.
a banjo instrumental that you wrote,
right?
Too, and tell us a little bit about that tune, how it came to have the title it has.
Okay, that came off of album that we did in Liberty, New York. It's upstate from New York City, about 150 miles north of New York City, on Ravona label, and I wrote the tune, and they put it down along with, I think, 9 other songs there, you know. And we just put it down, and we knew we were going to put it on the album, but I didn't have really a title for it. And so, you know, everything was said and done. We were getting ready to pack up for the 12-hour drive home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, Paul Gary, the guy that was owned the label and all, you know, he said, "Well, hey, guys, what am I going to call this tune?" And Clinton said, I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "It doesn't matter, just whatever, you know." And everybody seemed to like it really well, you know. And Clinton said, "Well, I'll tell you what," he said, "I've been thinking about writing a song. I've got some of the words to it here, but I think it's a good title for this because it's different. It sounds like the title for a singing number, but it would be different in that this is an instrumental."
Mm-hmm.
He said, and the title I was going to use is "The Lady of Paris."
Oh,
he said,
okay.
"So if it's all right with you, Larry and Paul, we'll just call it The Lady of Paris." And I said, "Sure, it sounds good. It's you know, it's good for an instrumental because it doesn't sound like a name proper for an instrumental."
Right,
you know, so.
Got your attention,
yeah.
Well, let's listen to a couple of cuts from that album. This was done in 1974?
Okay.
All right, let's listen to two cuts from it. We'll start off with Lady of Paris, as I mentioned there a while ago, and we'll move along now to Clinton King and Larry Hall and "I Can't Stand This Misery."
This world alone. what's happened, darling, to you and me. I need your love, come back to me. Darling, I can't stand this misery. I can't stand.
Clinton King, Larry Hall, and the Virginia Mountaineers from back in 1974 in an album they did on the Ravona label, one called Lonesome River, and we started off back in 1967 with Clinton King and I Can't Stand This Misery, a tune that they recorded for the Rebel label. And tell us about some of the folks you've played with. Of course, we know the long time you spent with Clinton King there, but I know you played with other bluegrass musicians whose names our listeners would recognize,
yeah.
Such as...
I was born and raised a little community in Body Tight County, about 7-8 miles north of Roanoke, and until I was about 20 years old and moved away. But about latter part of 1955, and I had been trying to learn the banjo for just a short while, Don Reno and Red Smiley happened to move about a mile from where I lived.
Oh, wow.
So, it took me a while to get to know them, but only because, I didn't go bother them until they got situated and so forth and from moving and all. And my dad took me over to Don Reno's house, and he welcomed me in. He didn't know me, but he knew I was a kid trying to learn to play, and just as nice as he could be. And he always treated me with the most respect. I couldn't say enough good things about him or Red Smiley or any of the whole band, for that matter. But living that close and all, and I'd gotten where I could, by the time about 1962 rolled around, I got to where I could pick pretty good. I could pretty well hold my own, on a banjo. Mm-hmm. And Carlton Haney, he lived there in the same area they did. He was their manager, booking agent. So, anytime that Don had to be off or was sick, or whatever, or Red, they called me to fill in on the banjo. Well, if Red was off, and Red had a long-term diabetic problem, and that gave him a lot of trouble, and he'd occasionally have to be off, and so I'd go fill in, and Don, in that case like that, liked to play the rhythm guitar and me the banjo, and that was really an honor to feel like that one of the world's greatest had thought I was good enough to fill in for him while he played rhythm guitar. You're talking about a rush now. That it was. And I played several shows with him in late 62. And then in the summer of 63, Don had to take a 3.5 month time off, for some things that was going on business-wise and so forth. And so I worked the whole summer of 63 with Red and Tennessee Cut-Ups. And all the top of the morning shows, the TV show at Harrisonburg, Virginia on Saturday afternoon. And we, in that 3.5 month period in the summer months, we traveled from Florida all the way up to Boston, working road shows and get back sometime just in time to do the top of the morning show live after riding about 2,000 miles in the last 3 days. Because usually in those days, you work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at a bluegrass park up north somewhere. Uh-huh. And they got great crowds, and it was really accepted well there, And so in doing so, that was in 1963. And, for some reason, because Carlton Haney was such an icon in booking a band, he knew all the bluegrass guys, and they knew him. They'd come through, and they'd need a banjo player. Bill Monroe come through and need a banjo player, and Carlton called me, and I'd go play with Bill, So I got to play 5 or 6 shows, with Bill, Carolina, and different places, in this same time period. And then, way back, I had learned to play that cross-picking stuff that the Stanley Brothers had on a lot of their later records on Stardew, So I got to do 3 shows with them picking lead guitar, and that was really – and the thing that was really awesome, on the third night that we'd finished the last show down in Carolina, Carter really loved the way I played. George Shuffler had just quit him, and he really loved the way I played. And he stood outside the little schoolhouse in North Carolina there for about 25 minutes talking to me, trying to get me to go to Live Oak, Florida, where they were living at the time, join them regular.
Oh, wow.
And, here I'm a young kid, just out of high school and not a lot of experience and not been away from home a lot. And, a lot of times in that predicament, you don't know exactly what to do. And I didn't go. And the same thing with Bill Monroe. Carlton had talked to Bill, and Bill wanted me to go with him also about 3 months earlier. And so Carlton said to me, he said, boy, I guess I'm just going to have to give up on you. I can't get you hired off to nobody.
Few people have turned down Bill Monroe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't – it was just the, I guess, maybe my insecurity, wondering how it would all be at that younger age, because I'd been definitely working without a net on my own in Nashville, and I talked to a lot of the guys in that time period, that had really had difficulty financially trying to go that route with bluegrass bands, and because times was hard, even for the biggest of names in those years.
Yeah.
And you only got paid union scale on the days you played.
Yeah.
And sometimes on the days you played, you still didn't get paid. So,
Well, Bill probably could have found some work for you on the farm.
Oh, he could have,
on the farm, probably.
Yeah. I think Carter Stanley played 3 months with with Bill before he left, and I think Don Reno was there 6 months, you know. So,
you know, I always remember the first time I saw Larry, and it gets back to what he was talking about a while ago. The company I worked for transferred me to Roanoke from Bristol, and I had never seen Reno and Smiley, but I really loved their music, and I had a lot of their records. I really wanted to see them, so I found out they were going to be at Crossroads Mall. So I couldn't wait to get out there, you know. And, of course, when I got there, Don was playing guitar and Larry's picking banjo.
Oh, okay.
And I tell you, if you wasn't watching, you wouldn't have known it was Larry picking the banjo. He's always Don.
Don Reno, yeah. And that says something,
and too. And that is really saying a lot when you can pick banjo for Don Reno.
That's right.
To me, that's the utmost compliment.
Yeah. Well, now, I know, Marvin, that you grew up around Abingdon, is that
Bristol's.
Correct? Bristol.
Washington County. Yeah.
Washington County. Mm-hmm. And you used to go down to WCYB, and I expect you probably saw a little talent there, didn't you, live and in person?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's nothing like that. I guess it's more like the high point of my life. I love the Stanley Brothers. And I got to go down there, and Carter would let me go in the studio, and I sat right in front of those guys, Flat and Scruggs, and all of them, you know. Mac Wiseman had a band, and I sat there, and you can imagine, that was just, I was spellbound. And Carter was a real friendly guy. He would talk to anybody, and Ralph was the opposite kind of, you know. Ralph was very bashful.
Uh-huh.
And me and Carter, when we talked, we never talked about music. We talked about coon dogs. Because I had a good coon dog, and he was trying to buy my dog.
Oh. Well, if you'd have gotten up with Jimmy Martin, he'd probably have taken your dog, too.
He was a great guy. He was a great guy. And in my opinion, the greatest singer ever lived was Carter Stanley, and writer. I loved
it. Oh, he did.
They were my idols. So.
He had the magic touch. He truly did, too. Well, before we hear some live music from the two of you, who very kindly brought in your instruments and going to play a few live tunes for us, we'll hear another cut from the album that you did with Clinton King, the Blue Ridge Bluegrass on Ravonna, and listen a little bit of Sweet Lovin' Man, and it'll give you all a chance to get in the studio and get your instruments ready for us, and we'll let the folks hear sample some real bluegrass music this afternoon, too. So. You just heard Sweet Loving Man by Larry Hall and Clinton King and the Virginia Mountaineers from a 1974 LP that they did. And we have Larry Hall live in our studio today, along with Marvin Harlow on guitar and Larry on banjo, of course. And they're going to do a couple of live tunes for us here. And I forgot to mention when they were talking about, Larry was talking about being on his TV show, that he had this handsome young man named Jeff Hunt who worked there, too. It was probably a major factor in the success of the show, I suspect, wasn't it? No question about it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do some live tunes here for you. So what do you have on the menu there for us, Larry?
Okay, we'll start with an old-time bluegrass tune here called Let Me Love You One More Time.
Great rendition there, and I hope, Marvin, you couldn't tell how green with envy I was when you were talking about being at WCYB there in Bristol and seeing all that great live music. I was about to explode. I was so envious. I really, really would love to have been right there on the front row with you. What great music you were eyewitness to. Larry as well, too, playing with the likes of Bill Monroe. And Mack Wiseman, I believe you backed up as well.
Yeah.
You've got another team for us now. What you got?
We'll do a little instrumental version here of an old Bob Wills tune. Marvin always likes to pick this one when we get together, so we'll try a little bit of the San Antonio Road. Thank you.
right. Beautiful job on San Antonio Rose. I believe I heard a little Don Reno lick in there at one point, too. Really great job, too. What else do you have for us now?
Well, get Marvin Harlow over here, Kenny, to sing a duet that we occasionally do, and it's all a good song that the Stanley Brothers had a real good recording on. And get Marvin to kind of kick it off on the guitar here, like it was on their record, and it's one called Next Sunday, Darling, Is My Birthday.
Another great tune there from Larry Hall and Marvin Harlow. We've been so pleased and honored. Jeff and I were talking about that a while ago about how you were kind of our musical heroes back there in the early 70s, late 60s when you were on TV. And I was telling Pax earlier, I'd never dreamed I'd be able to sit in the studio beside of you after watching you on TV and enjoying your music all these years. What a pleasure it's been to have both of you here, and what history you've been involved with, the both of you. I mean, the things that you've both played, the people you've played with, the eyewitnesses to the music that you've seen, and boy, a lot of history in these two guys right here, too. It's been a pleasure to have both of you here.
Well, it's really been a pleasure for us to be here, too, Kenny, and hope maybe before too off much time, maybe we can come back and do it again.
I hope so. I kind of feel like we just got started here.
Yeah, I know. There's so much to cover.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give your contact information. I'm sure there'll be some listeners who want to get in touch with you. So how would folks get in touch with you?
Well, anybody want to get in touch with me, they could, I guess, just call my phone number. It's 540-362-7051. My email address is llhallmusic@verizon.net, and I can get an email that way. I'll repeat that because I know it's, if you don't have a pen ready, you don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
540-362-7051, and the email is llhallmusic@verizon.net.
All right, and have you got some music coming up in the area? And
well, we got some things to do, but it's not necessarily
private
stuff than it is, you know, open to the public. You know,
all right. Would I be welcome if I offered to carry
absolutely.
If I carried your banjo
absolutely.
For you?
You're always welcome.
Bring your banjo yeah. and you can play it with us.
I was going to make you a deal. I've got a good Sears and Rareback banjo. I'd trade you for that that puny old Gibson you've got. You're
yeah.
probably tired of that and ready to get
yeah,
rid of it
I'm
anyway.
Tired of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I am so pleased and honored to have both of you here today. And I know coming in on a cold day like today, it's a special treat, too. It's all worthwhile, believe me. And what are you going to close out our visit with today?
Kenny, before we go, I would like to say that I've enjoyed this a whole lot. And I'd like to say to you again that I can't thank you enough for all you do for our music.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's unbelievable. People don't realize what good you do and helps our music along, helps people to understand it that don't know what it is. And I listen to you regularly. I've been listening to you all the way back to Danville when you was on that Saturday night show.
Oh, yeah.
And you do a good job. And I just want to thank you right now while we're looking at you and let you know how much we appreciate you.
Well,
and I think, too, Marvin, you know, without the folks out there listening, you know, entertainers would be nothing, you know.
Exactly.
And when I make this statement, I certainly am not diminishing their worth because they are what makes it tick, you
yep.
know. But a lot of people just don't realize in Kenny's situation the effort it takes and the work it takes to come to the studio and the radio here. And everything he has to do behind the scenes.
Preparation.
Right. Jeff Hunter, our engineer, all of this that goes into this is unbelievably a lot of work behind the scenes before they hear the two-hour show. You know, you can't believe how much work it is till you see these guys work in here and do this.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're very kind and very generous. Usually I just come up and wind up the crank. You know, I wind it and then put the needle down and I'm ready to go. But I'm so pleased and honored for both of you to be here. It's been our pleasure to have you. And we'll get you to close us out with another good one here. What you got on the menu now?
Okay, we'll close it out with a tune here that Clinton King really loved to play. He loved to play it on guitar, and you know, and he always would get me to play it a lot. So we'll just do this in remembrance to my cousin Clinton King, called Turkey Knob.
Again, it was such a pleasure and treat today to have Larry Hall and Marvin Harlow in with us today, and hope we can do that again before too long. That was such fun. It truly was. I want to play three songs here to answer some requests from the last couple of weeks. I had a call from Bud Clay over in Halifax County, and he wanted me to play this tune for him, and I'll play it also for Lawrence Pugh. And he wanted to hear You Are My Sunshine. I got a nice instrumental version of that coming up. And also had a nice letter from Michael Sparks, who wanted to hear Fox on the Run, and I'll play that by the Country Gentleman. I'll also play it for John Haskins as well. And then Seth Altice wanted to hear something by the infamous String Dusters. So I've got three requests in a row here. We'll start off with Linwood Lunsford playing a great instrumental version of a tune Bud Clay wanted to hear, You Are My Sunshine.
Her hair shone like gold in the rocks on the rock. Like a fox.
Like a fox.
Like a fox on the rock. Everybody knows the reason for the fall. When woman tempted man down in paradise's hall. This woman tempted me and took me for a ride. Like the lonely fox, I need a place to hide.
She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that a poor boy could give her and left me to die like a fox on the run.
Like a fox.
Like a fox.
Like a fox on the run.
The infamous String Dusters. They are a band that I believe is based out of Charlottesville, Virginia, and one called A Place I Call Home. I'm playing that for Seth Altice, who wanted to hear something by the infamous String Dusters, who are big winners in the International Bluegrass Music Association. And then before that, we heard the Country Gentlemen do Fox on the Run, and I was playing that for Michael Sparks, who wanted to hear that, and also played for John Haskins, my friend over in Pennsylvania County. And then we started off there with You Are My Sunshine, and you probably could supply your own words to that. I suspect many of our listeners could sing right along with that, know the words to it. And that was done up by Linwood Lunsford, who now, of course, is a full-time banjo player. Well, he has been a full-time banjo player for a long time, played with Jimmy Martin for years, but plays with Big Country Bluegrass now. And I was playing that for Bud Clay and Lawrence Pugh. We'll move on now to Travis Book, who is the bass player for the infamous String Dusters. And Travis lives over in Amherst County, Virginia, or maybe Nelson County, one of those two counties. I'm not sure which one, around Lovingston, I believe. And this is from a new CD that he has out called Alice, which is the name of his guitar. And it's not the brand, that's just the name for his guitar. And this is an old Carter Family song, one that they popularized on Bluebird Records way back there in the 1930s, one called 50 Miles of Elbow Room.
Its gemstone walls of jasper shine, made not by human hands. 100 miles, the gates are wired, abundant entrance there. With 50 miles of elbow room on either side to spare. And the gates swing wide on the other side, just beyond the sunset sea. There'll be room to spare as we enter there. Room for you and room for me. When the gates swing wide on the other side, there the fairest flowers bloom. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. And I get crowded here, and I long for elbow room. I long to reach for altitude where the fairest flowers bloom. It won't be long until I pass through that entrance there. With 50 miles of elbow room on either side to spare. When the gates swing wide on the other side, just beyond the sunset sea, there'll be room to spare as we enter there. Room for you and room for me. When the gates swing wide on the other side, there the fairest flowers bloom. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room. On the right hand, on the left hand, 50 miles of elbow room.
There is color.
I'll play that for John Baldwin, who introduced me to that set of siblings called Southern Raised, and they are doing What a Day That Will Be. And before that, we heard Travis Book and 50 Miles of Elbow Room. We'll close out the first hour here with Reed Creek doing I'll Fly Away.